Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Happy, the ball itself has its own energy, or life force, if you will. Its natural environment is in the home. So why don't you send them home?
It's Mike Shope.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
And the Bulldog.
That Happy Gilmore, he's a real crack up, isn't he? I mean, he's a hoot. You know, what was great today, one of his fans mooned me and had Happy written on his ass. Ha on the one cheek, and then... sure enough, PPY right there in the other.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Happy learned how to putt. Uh-oh.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Super cool of you to choose to hang out with us this afternoon and into the early evening hours here. Welcome to our Brian Koziel, who joins us now on the West Her Hotline. Mike has been off today. I am the Bulldog, along with Zach Jones. And Brian, we thought we were dead, and then maybe we really were dead no matter what, because Rom was the one who was challenging, and that would have cost us more money, as it turned out. So I guess in the end, I was rooting for Scheffler by the time the thing ended. But it started out like a coronation, and then it got a little rocky, and then we were back to, oh, he's just gliding to the finish here, even bogeying 18, who cares? Quite a Sunday.
It reminded me of kind of how Tiger used to win, right? Like, it would be close, and you're like, oh, maybe someone's going to challenge him, and then he would play well, and the others would fizzle, and he all of a sudden is walking up 18 with a six-shot lead in a major. Scheffler obviously maybe doesn't do it with the flair and the vibe that Tiger did, and I'm not in any way saying Scotty Scheffler is anywhere near what Tiger Woods did, but... it reminded me of how Tiger would win a major, how we'd always say, you know, these guys end up collapsing or these guys end up falling back and Tiger pulls away. And that's kind of what happened on the back nine. And it was exciting there for a moment. They go into the back nine and him and Rahm are deadlocked. And then you got DeChambeau, who's right there, and a couple of other golfers within striking distance. Mm-hmm. Adam Scott was within a couple of strokes. Norin was in a couple of strokes. And then, you know, it felt like within four holes, it felt like it was over again because everybody had gotten back. I know Rahm had to really play aggressive in those final three to try to maybe make something up there, and that's really not what you want to do on those final three holes anyway. But, for Scheffler, he played his best in the final nine, and now major number three for him, and that puts him in some really nice company.
Maybe the biggest shot that contributed to Scheffler being able to pull away a second time like he did was Rahm. Was it Rahm? Was it 14? Is that the drivable? He hit what looked like a perfect shot, and it was one of those shots that we've all hit him, where you're standing either in the tee box or in the fairway, and you're like, oh, look at this shot. Whoa, that bounce! Oh, it just took such a tough, hard right bounce on him into that bunker, and then he kind of botched the bunker shot enough that he left himself a little too much. Because even on the broadcast, I think Immelman was saying, like, this is not a real hard shot. Just get it on the green and let it roll down the hole, and you should be good. But he didn't get it to the green enough. He got just caught enough of the fringe that it held up, and it left him, you know, I guess maybe 6 or 7 feet instead of 3.
Yeah, that whole I like the setup that the PGA had there, because you had the really, really challenging finish with 16, 17, 18, but 14 and 15 were definitely gettable. You had, you know, 15 to par 5, and then 14, you just mentioned, the drivable par 4, and that was a big swing. I mean, Rahm could not take advantage of it, and Scheffler did. Scheffler went back-to-back birdies on 14 and 15, and that's really where it was over, right there. Once he birdied those two in a row, and I think the lead ballooned to maybe 5 or 6 at that point, then you knew he was going to be fine, even though the last three were tough. I mean, you knew he could just kind of play it safely on those holes and be fine the rest of the way. Yeah, I mean, for Rahm, you know, I feel like I've been pretty critical in the sense that I think he's been very underwhelming in majors since he's joined LIV, for a variety of reasons of whatever LIV does or doesn't get you ready for these strenuous tests of golf over 4 days. Rahm seemed as though, like, when he was on the PGA Tour, like, I thought, it, you know, him and Scotty were essentially toe for toe in terms of what they had been doing and accomplishing. And obviously, since he went to LIV, Rahm has, I think, been really, really disappointing in majors. So to have him there yesterday, I think it's exciting for golf. I think Rahm, even if you don't like him, I still think he's a person that is entertaining to watch. And, you know, in the end, obviously, he couldn't handle it. And that hole that you mentioned, the drivable par 4, was one of the couple of swing holes that definitely went in Scheffler's favor.
Yeah. Can you put into some context what Scheffler, I mean, because you mentioned, and I get why you would, like, you're not comparing him to Tiger. Because, you know, there's obviously a long way to go here. But what are we talking about? Like, it's only been about 3 years, really, since he's been prominent on the scene, and he's won a lot in those 3 years, right?
Yeah, I mean, it almost seems like he feels like he has more mate. I mean, before yesterday, he only had won the Masters, which seems like not the case because he's been so good. He has won 2 Masters, which obviously is an incredible accomplishment, but it just felt like he had more. Yesterday was number 3. Now, that still puts you in incredible company because he's only 28. So what does Scheffler have now before the age of 28? He's got 15 tour wins and 3 majors. So who has done that? Who's won 15 or more times and has 3 majors at 28 or under? Scheffler's now done that. There's only 2 others. It's Nicklaus and it's Woods. So, like, that, in perspective of the longevity comparison, that looks really, really good. And, you know, he obviously, Scheffler, he's been dominant, but it's only, like you said, it's only maybe been for about 2.5, 3 seasons tops here. But when you look at what he's done at his age, I don't even know. I feel like Scheffler, I feel like he's been here longer. He even just looks older than 28. But the fact that he's won 15 times, he's got 3 majors, and you know, only Nicklaus and Woods have done that by age 28, that makes me feel good about maybe where he could go still going forward, realizing he's probably got a dozen prime years of golf still left in him, I would think.
Yeah, some of that is just his style, his demeanor. Like, he seems, I don't know, for some reason, as you were talking there, the phrase old soul came to mind. Like, in an era where, like, there were some pretty, I mean, obviously Tiger was a huge personality, even if he didn't really let you in. Like, it was just, he was kind of all-consuming, right? Watching him play and just everything around him. But other guys that have, like, Rory's a big, that everybody got swept up in that, and that's a long time ago now, I know, 10 years or more since he sort of hit the scene and became a cool story. DeChambeau, Koepka, these big, muscly guys that are hitting it miles. Here's Scheffler. I've joked around that he, you know, his style on the golf course looks like me with gift cards after my birthday at Marshall's. Like, he's not, you know, he's just not a super flashy guy, but, you know, he's obviously ridiculously consistent and excellent, but I think the style stuff might work against him. You know, he's just not someone who, I don't know, grabs you the way some of those other guys might. And really, it's that there isn't pro and con. Like, DeChambeau had his fans and his detractors. Koepka, fans and detractors. Tiger, even, fans and detractors. The swearing and some of the, you know, different stuff, the outbursts and temper. Scheffler is easy to ignore, except that he wins all the time.
No, I think you're right. There's not anything that's really, like, not likable about Scheffler. But when, you know, you sit here and say, like, you're wowed on TV or watch when you're watching him, I'm wowed by his accomplishments. But in terms of like being entertained, I feel like it's more of a respect factor with him than you are like when we watched Woods. I mean, even him walking down the fairway, people were like, "This is awesome," you know.
Right. Where yes.
Scheffler, just you're right. He just kind of goes about his business. He comes off as just being super like polite and likable, and everybody on the tour seems to have nothing but nice things to say about him. He wins in a soft manner. I actually thought his celebration on 18 was like the most emotion that I feel like I've seen out of him that was anything like Tiger, when he slammed his hat down after he won and kind of, you know, got excited a little. I mean, that was the most really emotionally you ever see out of Scotty, one way or the other. So, yeah, he does it in a way that maybe doesn't give him as much credit as he probably should. He's had an outstanding, dominating stretch here for 3 years. And, you know, now multiple Masters wins, multiple Players Championship wins, and now a PGA Championship win. So putting himself in, you know, good company, I got to think that he's going to be the favorite here going into the next major at the U.S. Open. So I think the style is tough to, like, wrap around. Like, hey, just maybe because he doesn't lack the pizzazz or the character or the personality or even the love-hate that some of the other golf greats have had here over our lifetime, that maybe he should be getting more credit even than what he's getting.
Do you think that last night when he won, I love talking about the broadcast with you because I know you pay a lot of attention. We were texting about something Nan said about Rahm late in the broadcast, and I don't pay close enough attention to know if he says things that are more critical of the LIV guys or not, but he at one point last night referred to Rahm. Unfortunately, he ended up being roadkill on the Green Mile, and I was like, I texted you like, did you hear Nance just say that? Like, it almost felt to me like Nance had cursed. It was such a strong thing for him to say about a golfer. I thought the end, where they did basically what they did with Rory at the Masters, you know, just silently watched the interactions with the family and the friends and the coaches and all the stuff. I think with Rory, that was a cathartic Grand Slam moment. I don't know. I thought it felt a little awkward and forced that they left Scheffler for that long without talking, because it's a major win. It's big, but I don't know. I just felt like it was a little too much of a thing that worked really well at the Masters.
Yeah, and maybe because they did get such rave reviews for how they handled the end of the broadcast,
right,
maybe they thought, like, hey, let's let that happen again.
Let's do that again, like, right.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of. The comment, though, that Nance said about Rahm being roadkill, I did think for Nance, who never says anything next.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Negative about anybody. Like, I thought that was a little bit severe and harsh for what he does. Normally, and Nance, who, by the way, just on his own is a very good golfer. He played D1 golf. Like, he is one that is not just a great announcer, but he's appreciative of golf because he knows it, and he knows it well. He was roommates with Freddie Couples, for those that have heard the story, at the University of Houston, a very good golfer, and, you know, was on the team and all that sort of stuff. So, like, he knows good golf when he sees it, and I think You know, for him to criticize anybody like that in that moment, I don't know if it's live driven, but announcers definitely, I feel like, have gone out of their way to try to go after the live guys for one way or the other, or even be critical of, oh, they're not showing enough shots. Like at the Masters, Patrick Reed was actually like one shot off the lead there at the end, but you barely saw him up until like the 16th hole. And, right. You know, is that a decision of CBS or the other people that have broadcasting, you know, rights and contract agreements with the PGA Tour? I guess I can't say for sure. The PGA Tour itself doesn't run the Masters and stuff like that. So I'm wondering ultimately maybe if there is a decision of like, hey, we're not going to show the live guys unless we really have to, wink, wink kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Nance's comment did seem a little bit off for a spot that he normally is not critical at all. I mean, usually you let the analysts do that, but Trevor Immelman is not really Johnny Miller where he's going to go out and say something.
Right,
like that.
Right. Yeah, hardly. Right. More like polar opposite almost,
right.
I might say. Hey, before we wrap up, I wanted to thank you for Friday. I know you were tied up with a tennis match, and I hope it went well. Dude, you steering Tim Freeze to us was just fantastic. It probably has been 30 years since I talked to Tim. Like I had barely remembered that I had met him and played golf with him when he was at Transit Valley. I don't know if you heard the segment because you were obviously busy with your tennis match. Man, he just did a great job. So thank you for steering him to us.
No problem. I will say that I did go back and listen to it, and he was excellent. And the energy of Tim being excited about being at that event.
Yeah.
I'm sure you felt it because I could feel it on the replay when I went back and listened to it on the app. He is so energetic and passionate about growing the game of golf and the fact that he was at the PGA and obviously has a part in the PGA of America's decision-making. I mean, Tim being on the Northeast board and everything. So, when I talk with him, when I see him at Glen Oak, when I'm there either doing shows or just having a random conversation, he energizes me. So I'm glad it went well.
Yeah.
And he definitely has a love for the game for sure. And Tim is an amazing player. I think he mentioned he's played in senior PGA championships and has tried to make PGA championships. He's the best player that I've played with. And I played around with him at Transit Valley. I remember playing with him, I don't know, a decade ago. And I think I shot, I don't know, maybe like 81. We played the tips with him. I think, I don't know, maybe like an 81. This is, I hope it's not a Colesville brag here. I think I shot maybe like 81, and I was like, wow. I'm like, I felt really good, and Tim was so complimentary the whole time. Brian, you played great. You got to be excited. Can't wait. Blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, Tim shot 67 that day.
Right. I was waiting for that. So, that's what I expected. Yes.
At the end of it, I remember saying, I'm like, Tim, like, don't you want to like try to play pro here? And he's like, those guys are at least 5 or 10 strokes better than me. And I'm like, damn, like
right.
He's got 67 and we barely noticed it, you know?
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thanks again for that, Brian. And thanks for this. And, I mean, onward to the US Open. You're on deck, buddy.
Yep. Looking forward to it at Oakmont. Thanks, Bulldog. Have a good day.
Thanks. That's Brian Colesville on the Western Hotline. We'll hit up a timeout. Get back to the Leafs and another Game 7 disaster. Joe Yurden for Bleacher Report was in attendance for both of these home games. Game 5 on Wednesday, Game 7 last night. We'll pour over all of that with Joe after this on WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.